The Caps are taking on the Golden Knights for their first Stanley Cup in either franchise's history. That's a weird sentence to say out loud in 2018, but here we are. Welcome to the best damn pregame show available, folks. Before game two, we'll talk that. We'll talk some contracts, talk some things, we'll talk some stuff. Get on it! Face Off Hockey Show right now.
The following program is closed captioned for the thinking impaired.
Choose your command. You have chosen
the Face Off Hockey Show.
I mean, hockey is my life. I've got on hockey underwear right now.
The Face Off Hockey Show. What? With Scotty Waz. Sean O.
And a breakaway. Big two, three, guards! There he goes!
And the P-Boys. Johnny and Mark with a C.
Yeah, baby.
You believe it not? Oh, yes!
Here's your host for the Face Off Hockey Show, Scotty Waz.
Welcome again to you watching live and to those in podcast. Hey, look, an only hour show because we're doing pregame for game two of the Stanley Cup final between the Caps and the Golden Knights.
Hey, it could be up again tonight.
Oh, and to be honest, we could do an hour and a half pregame if that intro, if that Vegas thing happens again where they'd spent 25 minutes on an introduction. We'll get to that in our Patreon pick in a minute.
Has it been the same? I feel like it's been the same introduction every round.
It is. It's just changed the character on the other side, essentially.
I didn't realize the Capitals were Dementors, though.
I didn't know that they didn't get the presidents out there and try to kill the presidents, although I think that's some kind of regicide. Maybe they didn't want to do that.
Although I am surprised that they didn't get David Copperfield to make a bald eagle disappear. Because that I would have actually paid for.
Chris Angel was there. They don't get along too much. So, welcome. Lyle Richardson, SpectresHockey.net, joins us again for our only hour show.
We'll talk about the
game one that happened and then the game two that is going to happen. Johnny P, of course, producer of the Stars there.
Huzzah.
Yes.
Anybody have a weekend or a week of things of events they wanted to talk about aside from Lyle?
I have this
part of the European Union.
Yes, just letting yeah. Well, first of all, to Johnny on Prost.
Yeah, this is for must win game two as well as beating the Lightning.
Yeah, there you go.
There you go. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I've got sweet tea.
It's because you're just too sweet. Sorry.
Anyway. Lyle ended up in the Atlantic Ocean somehow.
Yeah. Apparently, Prince Edward Island, at least according to the Chicago Tribune's website, we're apparently in the European Union. Somebody had to take over for Britain and their Brexit, so why not us? I mean,
sure.
we got lobster, we got golf, we've got the ghost of Brad Richards, who isn't dead, just
probably a lot of bad teeth. Maybe
actually
some,
no. We have
better, just the Brits that go there.
The Brits have the bad teeth. We're the one. Yeah, the big book of PEI smiles is just one page of everybody with bright shiny teeth because we all have a dental plan. Dental plan. We should brace it. Dental plan. Anyway.
So yeah.
Wow. I have grass growing.
Hey, look at you. The homeowners association won't be after you.
I have pictures even as well. It's amazing.
I'm just glad to hear that Maryland has legalized it at last. I wish you the best with your production there, Johnny.
No problem.
Let's
see what I can do.
Okay.
Throw it right in the backyard. What could go wrong?
And we're joined as always by Mark with a C with that dashing playoff beard, or it could just be because he hasn't been able to shave because of baby time. Back from Hawaii after he stopped all the volcanoes. Hi, Mark.
What's up? Sorry, the rush on.
When your beard is thick enough that you can comb it, yes.
I didn't have any time.
Been there, done that. Yeah, looking good.
I don't know if the beard pick is akin to the fro pick, but let's not make that a thing. Look that style. Unless you put under your mustache and have like a double mustache. All right. Anybody notable weeks and things during the week?
Scotty was on the radio.
I was on the WBAL with TV's Joe Miller on the radio.
WBBL?
WBAL.
WBAL. Yeah, wasn't he, didn't you say this was a guy, a cat you guys grew up listening to or something?
No,
like
this,
that?
This is a guy I grew up, who I was on TV with in Public Access in Annapolis.
Wow.
He's part of Navy's radio broadcast for football, basketball, and lacrosse.
Holy cow. A quadruple threat.
Yeah, but the radio station is one that I grew up listening to the Orioles games on and stuff mm-hmm. like that. So mm-hmm. that was a cool thing to deal with.
The Orioles yeah. are still on it.
Are they? I heard they weren't. I heard they went to 105.7.
You were about to
they probably did.
I was. Well, HFS is 105.7 now, isn't it?
Yes.
Hold on. Yeah, see? Yes. I was partially right.
HFS is W. And here's the irony is that in Baltimore 99.1, you can get the Caps games.
In Spanish?
Yeah, but that's again.
Goal!
I don't think it's a Spanish channel.
Let that Cinco in.
I would be okay if you're listening to it in Spanish, in all honesty.
That would be cool.
By the way, here's a note if you're watching live. Here's the note that I had to do. Put on. For WBAL to make sure I do this for every radio appearance I do. Don't curse.
That's good. That's good.
Pro tip,
no,
kids.
You sounded fantastic.
Thank you.
Buddy. I took a nap actually so that I could stay up and record for you.
It was 9:30 at night.
Yeah, way past my bedtime.
Do either of you gentlemen have a link? Because I would love to listen to
yeah,
that.
Yeah, it's on our. I'll send you the link. It's on.
Please do. Please do. I would like to hear how you sound on the radio scope. So.
It's on our.
Yeah, you sounded good.
Felt good. Feeling good.
I listened to it. I kept timings. I sent you all the timings.
My mom said she was proud of me, which is the first time in 35 years she said that. So that's something.
Wow.
Hey, no, it's always.
And Stan was like, "What's a radio?"
No, what's a BAL?
No, it's always a kick though when you end up on a radio station or a show or something that you listen to or that you watched for a long time. So yeah. I mean, yeah, congrats, Scotty. Well done.
It's a fun time. Thanks, for yeah. Miller for having me on. He's nice. And he DM'd me. He's like, "Yeah, listen, my Vegas guy went through, and my second thought was you." I'm like, "Oh, it's adorable." Why was I not further down that list? fun thing I found on my Don't Curse speaker. I found our picks for the earlier this year.
Oh,
same piece of paper.
Wow.
Same piece of paper. I have a lot of paper.
Scotty recycles, kids. Be like Scotty.
Man, hell.
Speaking of, Sean was going to come on tonight, but he decided against it, apparently. He didn't text me.
O'Connor or Leahy?
O'Connor. Leahy's on next week.
Okay, Leahy's
in which
on
I have to make sure that I am wearing only a mustache.
Because of course. Whoa!
That was part of no. That was part of the plan. Leahy. I can only wear a mustache.
It's okay.
You do not want to see my saggy 55-year-old pecs on your TV screen. So no, I have to shave the beard and just sport a porno mustache in 2 weeks' time.
Best pregame show ever.
Oh yeah, I can flex them.
Perfect.
Let's get some tassels.
Let's get the viewership going.
Wow. Woot.
2017-18. Here's who we picked.
Okay.
I picked Nashville and Carolina. Whoops.
Oh, okay. Nashville, I was with you on. Carolina was such an outlier. I mean, I think I openly mocked that. I'm sorry.
For next year, by the way, I think we need to we need to state at least one reason why we pick each team.
Yes.
I want to know why you picked Carolina.
Because I thought because of Scott Darling coming back, their defense being a little bit better and younger.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
We all thought Carolina was going to do okay.
Well, I believe that's actually true. Justify our picks at the time. When we made them, correct me if I'm wrong, but yeah, I think we all did justify them. And that, yeah, Scotty, I do recall now you saying Scott Darling, Sebastian Aho is going to be, and I was just like, oh yeah, Aho, Jesus. And yeah.
That's like a dark horse pick.
Yes. I believe I actually said that. So yeah.
Johnny P, Edmonton and Pittsburgh.
Oh.
Ooh.
Actually, the Edmonton pick's on par with the Carolina pick.
No, yeah. The Edmonton pick was a good one at the time. A lot of people were picking Edmonton after the season they had last year.
And when you listen to the rest of this
list, worked as well.
Yeah.
So.
When you listen to the rest of this list, yes, a lot of people did pick them. Mark, Edmonton and Toronto.
Wow. Terrible.
Lyle, Edmonton, Tampa Bay. Again, close.
I was close on one, but yeah, I was on the Edmonton Oilers train there last fall.
And absolutely. The only person to pick a Stanley Cup finalist, and he's not even here to gloat about it, Sean O, Vancouver, Washington.
No, didn't we I thought we switched it to Vegas, Washington, actually, for him this year.
I think we were thinking about it, but we kept going with
it. By the way,
God, he would have looked like a goddamn.
Because he said he was coming on the show and telling us that he was right, Vegas and Washington. Yeah. And Stanley Cup
by finals. The way, can I just say that I am deeply regretting now not tossing $20 down, back last fall when the bookmakers gave, the Golden Knights 500-1 odds. Just for shits and giggles, you know? But I was just like, oh, no, that 20, you know, it's $20, right? $20, dude, that, yeah, that's a case of beer. I can't be there with $20.
Yeah.
Oh, $10,000 was mine for the taking, and I was stupid.
Let's be honest, though. If you would have done it, this would have never happened.
Exactly. Exactly. They would have finished exactly where everybody expected them to, and we'd be enjoying Washington and Edmonton right now in the final.
In 2006, I was in Vegas coming home from the Vancouver draft. Mm-hmm. We were in Vegas. Odds were, I think, 6-1 that Italy would win the World Cup because they were supposed to lose it to Germany in the semifinal. I thought about putting money down, stood in line, and then go, nah, I'd actually rather watch Italy win the World Cup. Walked away. Italy wins the World Cup. Boom.
This is great, but so, God, I could have had one money.
I do remember at the beginning of the year asking all of you who would win a cup first, Vegas or Washington.
That's true. You remember that?
That is true. I just never thought that it would come to fruition. So.
No, it seemed like such a crazy idea. Like, okay, make the playoffs. Yeah, okay, sure. Great. Maybe win the first round. Okay, fine. But Stanley Cup final? No, don't be ridiculous.
At the time, yeah, it was a real commentary on the failure of Washington. But now it just seems prophetic. Is right. that a word? Prophetic?
Yes.
Yeah. Good. Prophetic.
But if they were shooting CGI... CGI fireballs at every team before they came into the stadium. No wonder they won so many playoff games.
I actually had a friend of mine who is not a hockey fan. Scott Pliniak, actually. He may be watching. He subscribed a couple weeks ago. He actually asked me if it was, if the game was being played at the medieval times at Adirondack Mills.
They should shift that for 3 and 4. They probably have better ice.
Really? A good guy. But can I just say, though, geez, I don't mind having a cutesy little pregame show or something like that. Every team does it. But it doesn't drag on 20 friggin' minutes. I mean, good God.
Nor does NBC typically tell us.
Air it off.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, it's just like, okay,
that
folks,
was made for NBC.
Now, I mean, for you guys,
NBC did that on purpose.
Now, for you guys, your start time, because you're in the Eastern time zone, so your game time, it's slated at 8:05 PM. Mine is 9:05 PM because I'm an hour ahead of you, which means that the game on Monday night didn't start till friggin' 9:30. I was up until 12:30. That's past my bedtime. God damn it.
Mine's at 7.
Yeah. Oh, I hate you so much.
Wow, can you tell us how the first period ends?
But what made up for it, though, was honestly, game one was fantastic.
It really was.
Even though the ice was crap, and yeah, the officiating, as always, was garbage, that was like punch counter punch. Like, it was back and forth, and that part of it was good. Yeah. Not the like best game for the goaltenders, obviously, but... Honest to God, I mean, and I mean, some of those goals, I mean, Carlson's goal in the backhand and Backstrom's goal on the backhand.
All four Capitals goals came on the backhand.
And they were just beautiful. Like, seriously, you're lucky if you see one backhand goal in a game. You know, cause backhand, being able to score on a backhand, and I've said for years, is become a dying art. Only the very best, only the elite seem to still have mastery of it. And Jesus, I mean, it was fantastic to see, you know, these guys scoring backhand goal. Though, the fourth goal, that was, of course, Fleury putting that in himself. But still, it was a backhand shot that led to it. So. It counts. But I really like the Backstrom and Carlson goals. Oh, those are beautiful. I'm a fan of the backhand goals because you don't see them very often anymore.
That Carlson goal was about 2 inches away from being 3-on-0 also on that blue line keep. That was That was the thinnest of margins there from
Carl. And because the Caps lost, the problem was that the headline writers couldn't say Caps backhand Vegas up 1-0. that would have been my headline if they would have won, but alas, here we are. Game one was good as it was sloppy as well. Chalk it up to nerves, chalk it up to the bad ice. It just didn't look like there was too much of a constant flow for either side.
Well, the two teams are trying to adjust to each other. It's typical, you know, in a game one, and especially after a lengthy layoff for both teams, you know. It takes a little bit of time to get used to your opponent and, to build up, as they say, to build up that hate. But I think we're going to see a different game tonight.
Yeah, that took 35 minutes.
Well, I think both sides have done their bit. I mean, you know, Ryan Reeves, or, you know, the uncalled cross check on Carlson that led to the Reeves goal. Wilson's, blindside hit on Marsha's show, you know. So yeah, it's starting to stoke.
I will say this: that was not the game-winning goal, John. It was one of the game-tying goals.
That was the game tire.
The game winner was that beautiful pass.
Oh my God, no! That was a beautiful goal.
It really was.
Devontae Smith-Pelly's shin protector breaks. He gets tied up in his own kind of feet. He can't clear the puck. Next thing you know, that was a hell of a feed.
It was a hell of a shot.
By the way, is there a better, like, 3-second video showing how all Caps fans feel than Ovechkin getting hit in the face with the puck?
Oh! Yeah,
it's just like every year is just that.
But he reacted like he was just slapped. You know, most people would be like, oh, and he's just like, psh!
He reacted
and he
like
he turns as if to look at the, as if to go, how dare you?
This motherfucker here!
Checks his teeth. Yeah, okay, they're there. And just sits down.
I,
and just,
too, though. I haven't had that since 07.
Oh, but man, is he ever dialed in. Like, this is the most intense. In this year's playoffs, this is the most intense I have ever seen Alex Ovechkin. Oh, yeah. I mean, good time, happy-go-lucky Ovi is long gone here. This is a man who is dialed in.
Well, let's be honest. This conceivably is his one and only chance at this.
It very well could be.
With this team, I guarantee the Cats probably won't get another chance like this again. Yeah, not with this roster. Trade it to someone else.
If they again let him and then go from there.
But even that's not a guarantee. As again, you mentioned
Hasek did well.
That's true.
Yeah.
Hasek also played on great teams in front of him as well.
Yeah. I mean, that Red Wings team, yeah. But yeah. Mm.
If you're gonna they also went down 1-0, folks, if you remember.
Yeah.
To the Carolina Hurricanes, my pick of this year's Stanley Cup. Boy. All right, so we talk about introduction. That's our Patreon pick this week is elaborate introductions. Thanks to Brian, Damon, Mark, Trista, Matthew, Ethan, Chris, Mitch, Angela, and Sean. They've all pledged. You should pledge to patreon.com/faceoffhockeyshow. You can get all up on that. Hey, we might have some fun stuff going on to the summer and into next year. Who the hell knows? We'll do all that fun stuff. Then patreon.com/faceoffhockeyshow. Thank you for your patrons and your possible patronage as well. So we talked about the I had only watched clips of the Vegas intros in previous rounds. Man, that was unnecessary. That was like, I saw the clips. I'm like, oh, this is pretty cool. And then I'm like, it dragged out for 40 minutes.
I will say that I appreciate the Tron drumline though.
That's true. Yeah.
Though I couldn't resist. I mean, when I saw, because listen, because I was following obviously, Jets and Golden Knights. And of course I saw that, several times and every time with the drum. So finally I just tweeted out, I just did a clip of the master from Doctor Who go, here comes the drums, here they come. And then
I often wonder if they're not extras in a David Byrne music video with the big shoulder pads and the tiny little heads.
It wouldn't have been so jarring if they wouldn't have gone from Lil Jon, literally,
right
beforehand, Lil Jon concert outside, to the Medieval Times show, to like some sort of rave going on in the upper deck.
Yeah.
And then
still with the Medieval Times people there. The people from Medieval Times stayed with the drum solo.
Right.
That was going on. Sure. That Jeff Blass loved.
Of course, he appreciates a good drum solo.
but my highlight of it was bringing in Michael Buffer. I was all in on Michael Buffer giving his line and getting off the ice, but then he had to announce every player, and I'm like, this is just dumb.
Matt Niskanen!
That 10 minutes cost him 25 grand.
I have to say, Lyle, I was convinced he was going to mispronounce someone's name. I just thought
it was
going to be Kuznetsov.
Yeah.
I didn't think it was going to be
Kuznetsov!
The money was not on Niskanen for that one.
No, it really wasn't. It really wasn't. Yeah. Yeah. But Miss Cannon. Ladies and gentlemen, Miss Cannon for 2018. Mm. Oh, boy. Yeah. But it's just too long. I mean, look, I don't fault teams for wanting to have pregame shows, pump the crowd up a little bit and all that. Every team does it, blah, blah, blah. But come on, man. Puck drop A15. Let's friggin' go here, okay? People got shit to do.
This is what the NHL wanted, though. This is exactly what the NHL wanted. They wanted people to talk about this crap that went on before the game. The game was fantastic for anybody who didn't care about either team.
Yeah.
And this is – the NHL got exactly what they wanted out of game one of the Stanley Cup Final.
Mm-hmm. But I mean, still, but I mean, the pregame show, I know people are going, well, what do you expect? It's Vegas. It's going to be over the top and cheesy and everything else. And yeah, sure, fine. But, you know,
saw someone online. They can't wait till game three when Mitch McConnell just stumps, for 30 minutes about gun laws.
Go Capitals, go local sports team. I'll be in Kentucky drinking bourbon.
Richard Nixon, is that you?
if the Cats are down 0-2 when they come home, they're just going to filibuster the game.
Yeah.
Not let the game start.
They'll let Ted Cruz break out his copy of Green Eggs and Ham. I do not like Vegas on a boat. I do not like Vegas with a goat. I like goats. Yeah. A little too much info there, Ted.
Well, look at me.
Anyway.
They just print out all of Russian Machine Never Breaks tweets. And
oh, God, that'd be great.
Yes. That would be much more entertaining.
Yes. This is almost up there with the Senators and their senator.
Would talk about cringeworthy. This day, I like... I just remember how bemused all the Senators players were when this clown goes walking out amongst them. They're sort of like, who the fuck is this guy?
And this is in line with when they opened up the Palladium with their senator guy there, like the guy who looked like Caesar. Like, this is history, ladies and gentlemen.
Caesar, I see her. She's over there. Sure. Yeah.
And this is in the realm of the sports realm of we've been dealing with Florida State sending a guy on a horse and spearing half midfield. Every game for however long Florida State's been doing that, and we're cool with that. But it's all this over the top ice hockey stuff.
It takes 2 minutes to do that.
The same amount of time as it takes for all of the guys to run on the field. Like he's on a horse. He's obviously faster than everybody else.
Yeah, he's fine. Like that takes 2 seconds.
Throws it down and runs off.
That's very true.
I mean, who's the person that has to come over and get that spear out of the middle of the field though? That's what I want to know.
They're the ones that have to retrieve the kickoff tee. They know how to get it out of there and have no one notice. Yeah, exactly. Go get a point. I'm trying to think of any other, like, of course, the Mighty Ducks doing their thing early and having Wild Wing get caught up in the rafter.
Oh.
Or was it SJ Sharky? Can't remember which. Someone from California had their mascot tied up in the rafters that they had to delay the game before.
Why is this still a thing?
I think it was SJ Sharkey because I think the Ducks guy, he tried to jump through the hoop of fire and almost.
Oh, that's right. He burned
him. He almost became roast duck.
He failed himself.
Yeah.
Didn't anyone learn anything from Owen Hart? Why do we still do this? Why are we still lowering people from the rafters?
Yeah. That anniversary came up. First off, that stuff was before the actual thing happened.
Wasn't it 1999, the Owen Hart thing? I think that was in 99. So that's almost 20 years. Coming up 20 years next year. Gone but not forgotten. Rest in peace. But yeah, to your point though, Mark, well, I suppose, you know, safety measures are better nowadays and all that. But you know, every time I see these guys getting lowered from the Raptors, I always have that in the back of my mind though. Mm-hmm. You know,
yeah,
I do.
I mean, it's always safer than the last time until the next time it happens.
Yeah. And oh God.
It all it takes is one guy that doesn't do his job right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep.
There you go. I'm trying to think of any other ones that, stand out to me in terms of just
the only ones I can think of are the massive like shark head that they dropped out on the ice that they skate out of, or like Vegas has their little knight head.
Imagine if that snapped and fell.
Kill half of them. Although I do like the fact though for the Golden Knights, because they come down their exit tunnel to the ice, though it's mirrors on both sides. Every time they go by, they always show a shot of James Neal just pausing for a second and checking the dude. That's pretty cool.
So what I really like about that, I did really like that. Honestly, that was actually the most fun part for the pregame for me, was when the Knights came walking out, because it looks like they're storming a castle.
Yeah.
It just looks like there's lines and lines of players like going toward the ice, and it looks really cool.
That is a really good effect. It is.
Although I will say that Doc had his pun game on point last night when they pulled out the fire, extinguishers. And he mentioned that it is Vegas, so you should expect smoke and mirrors.
Oh, my.
The mirrors in the pregame and the smoke.
By the way, Doc Emmerich does not get enough flack for his Pierre Maguire American side of. He's the American Pierre Maguire, just listing off all the college names that these kids go to and all these fun facts about where these guys played or coached beforehand.
Well, hey, at least you guys aren't having to listen to Ron McLean and his bad puns, or when he tries to sound profound before the start of a game by quoting song lyrics that have absolutely nothing to do with the occasion.
You know? All I want to do is zoom a zoom zoom and a boom boom. Just shake your rum. Game two coming.
Yes, that's it, my friend. Yeah. Oh yeah. Scotty lived in Canada for 10 years. He knows. He was subjected to the Ron McLean exactly. Songathon.
Yeah. I'll appreciate when the NHL goes NFL style and it has the teams announce themselves and what college they went to, and Pierre Maguire just throws shit down on the ground and is like, fuck it, I'm out.
I'm done. I'm going to be an assistant GM somewhere. See you guys later. I'm going to go. Oh, boy. Anyway. That was our Patreon pick. Elaborate, not so elaborate intros.
I mean, we're fine. So I think we all agree we're fine with the intros. But you know, when you make it 40 minutes long, it's kind of stretching
the little. Let's keep it down to a tight 7.5 minutes.
Yeah. Exactly.
We'll be all right.
Either that or get rid of the anthem. Never happening.
No. I'm fine with the intros. Just leave it for the people in the arena. Make it as long as you want to for the people in the arena. I don't care. I mean, there's no reason to televise this.
Yeah. Those of us who are tuning in to watch it, we know the players. We don't need a fucking program. We know them.
Start at the anthem just like every other.
Exactly.
And let them have their pregame show. I mean, I assume the game's going to start tonight at 8, unless the pregame joust goes.
No, the pregame joust, it'll be 20 after 8 by the time it kicks off again. Though the one good thing I will say, though, is that up here in Canada, if Sportsnet didn't show the whole Vegas intro thing, we'd be subjected to 20 minutes of Nick Kyprios and Elliot Friedman and Kelly Rudy all babbling about, all telling us about stuff from the previous game that we already saw and already knew and telling us how wrong we actually were.
And they've already had 36 hours of doing that in between game one.
Exactly.
So, and it's going to be longer now because after each set of games, it's a big... So we got 3 days off after this one.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And then 3 days off after Mondays.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So what are we going to talk about to fill time?
Jesus Christ. Well, who knows? It could be over by Monday.
Yeah, they could talk about the NHL Combine that's going on in Buffalo right now. That would actually be interesting stuff.
Will it? I don't know. Who can't do a pull-up this year?
Yeah. If Rasmus Dahlin can't do a pull-up, well, that's it. Yeah, that's exactly. It. The draft is a bust, then. Forget about it.
There we go. So we talked about Stanley Cup final. State of the NHL address happened, ladies and gentlemen. Oh. CTE isn't real. Salary cap's going to be between 78 and 82 in Seattle, Houston, Quebec City, all eight.
CTE isn't real. That sums it up. The NHL stand on this perfectly, Scotty. Absolutely. CTE,
and they actually released tape of them testifying under oath.
Yep. That they don't believe. But we all know why they're saying this. And no, it's not because Gary Bettman is a douchebag or that Coley Campbell is a jerk. Well, Coley Campbell, okay, I can see that. But no. The whole reason why is because if they actually admit that, yes, there is a connection to head trauma suffered from hits to the head and CTE, Exactly. Mark is making the money sign. Here come the money!
Here's the thing, though.
In compensation.
And this is just me. I understand the compensation thing. We can't retcon all this, ladies and gentlemen. The NFL did that, and they paid $2 to each of the people who went into this class action lawsuit.
And that's what's going to happen for the NHL, but that's what's going on. There's a class action lawsuit involving hundreds of former NHL players who claim that the league did not sufficiently protect them, or keep them informed enough of the dangers of head trauma. The blows to the head, concussions, and the effects it could have on their long-term health.
Back in the day, who did know?
Oh, I know. I'm not disagreeing with that point.
If we get to the 90s, if players from the mid 90s forward, then yes, okay, I can understand. Mm-hmm. 70s, no one gave two shits about it.
Yeah. 70s, 80s, early 90s, 60s.
Yeah,
you know?
Guys,
because nobody really understood.
Like 106.5.
Yeah, because nobody really understood it back then. Back then, if you had a concussion, it was just like basically take a couple of aspirin, you'll be okay. You know, you're going to be fine.
If you go from where all of these leagues were back in the 80s to where they are now, I'd say the NHL has made the most amount of effort to prevent injury to the head with, forcing people to wear helmets and grandfathering the people who didn't want to, and then they're all gone, and then visors now. Same thing. I mean, I feel like they've done a lot more than the other leagues have. Even without saying that CTE is a thing, I feel like hockey has gone above and beyond in protection, not necessarily in, you know, saying that there's a problem.
But the one thing, the only problem with that though is it's since been revealed, because TSN's doing a really good series on this where they're, you know, showing the, you know, video highlights of the testimony given by, you know, the league executives 10 years ago. And you had Coley Campbell basically saying we've got to make sure that headshots, elbowing to the head isn't a 5-minute major. Keep it as a 2-minute one because that one doesn't attract as much attention, especially among the media. It'll go away more quickly. You had an NHL lawyer ensuring that, warning players about the possibility of long-term trauma from headshots wasn't on the warning posters that they had put up, in all the dressing rooms around the league. You know, so yes, on the one hand, Mark, you're right in that the NHL has been proactive in especially in the last dozen years, in addressing these things, but it does show that still, there were efforts to kind of tamp this down and we're going to address this gradually, carefully, quietly, but let's not make a big deal about this, you know, so.
But at what point is just like common sense play? Like, yes, of course, if you have repeated blows to the head, you're going to get the whole boxer thing. I don't see anybody, you know, suing the WBC or the boxing commissions with all
but
this.
But even then, boxers didn't know that.
Exactly.
Even then, like,
oh, sure. Back
like,
the
how
day.
Long did it take for Muhammad Ali for people to be like, wow, something seems off?
Yeah.
And even then, people just made a joke about it back then. Back in the early 80s, when he was showing signs of Parkinson's and things like that, and his speech was slurred, people were kind of making fun of him, you know?
So, I don't know. Salary cap, $78-82 million. Obviously, with Vegas and their run and the money's
probably
the money's.
Be, yeah, it's going to depend on. It's still, of course, going to depend on the NHLPA's 5% escalator. But I would say, yeah, they're going to escalate. Oh yeah. They have not. Yeah, so I'd say the sweet spot. I'm putting it at 80.
Sounds right.
Yep.
Expansion.
I'm so
of course.
Happy we had that last lockout to make sure.
Isn't it great?
We got
another one coming.
That was worth. Taking away, you know, depleting my savings and putting me into debt to survive. I was so happy. God bless those assholes. I mean, those wonderful, wonderful people for a lockout that didn't solve anything. Well done.
Expansion relocation areas discussed, of course, Seattle. I think they said fall could be a chance for the Board of Governors to discuss what the hell is going on. Houston and Quebec City also discussed about not as. I guess expansion area is more of relocation area. So obviously when Arizona gives up, they'll go to Houston. And when Thomas Dundon gets tired of not running his team like he wants, he'll move to Quebec City for more freedom.
Well, you have to figure, I mean, listen, Arizona's not going to go anywhere as long as Gary Bettman can find somebody willing to pay the freight. But sure. You got to figure, though, if they don't get a new downtown arena in the next 3 years, they're going to have no choice. They're going to have no choice.
And at what point does Houston not become a sexy, sexy idea for them? Because
And it's just up the road. It's not going to be far to go. There you are. Yeah, go to Houston. Is it up the road or is it down the road?
Down the road.
Sorry.
Yeah. It's around the way. How's that?
There you go. Yes. It's in the neighborhood.
Speaking of Quebec, Acadie Bathurst Titan, they won the Memorial Cup.
Yes.
Good for them.
The smallest market in the Quebec Major Junior Hockey League wins the Memorial Cup. Well done them.
The smallest market since, oh God, was it Flin Flon, I think?
Could be.
Won it in the 60s.
So, yeah, Bobby Clark, I believe, was part of that
team. Bobby Clark's team.
Yep.
Daniel Radford said off the record, but was actually on the record, that Eugene Melnyk should sell the team. But the NHL says the Ottawa Senators are not for sale. Congratulations to them for clearing that whole thing up.
Wait, why is that up to the NHL?
Because it is. An owner cannot sell the team without approval from the Board of Governors.
Really?
So Eugene Melnyk tomorrow pitched a fit and said, screw this, I'm selling a garbage team. Gary Bettman would go, un momento, por favor.
Hold on.
Because he would have just come from, eating a Taco Bell. Well, and he'd be feeling very Spanish and going, un momento, por favor.
I would say, Gary Bettman has Quebec Corps on speed dial waiting for that to happen, in all honesty.
Listen, relocated, absolutely, a relocation franchise. Won't be an expansion one. If Ottawa was actually up for sale and they had no choice but to move them, I would definitely say, yeah, they get trucked up the road to Quebec City. Yeah. They'll want to keep a Canadian team in Canada. Last thing Bettman wants is to move another Canadian team south.
And they got a state-of-the-art arena all ready to go.
So. Oh, yeah. But you got to figure that would be a franchise, maybe an Eastern one. Like you said, maybe Carolina, perhaps. You know?
A boy, Steve from Omsk. Doing work. Remember Steve from Omsk from many years ago?
I sure do. Yeah. He's the guy who lured Yager there.
Exactly. He just lured Bob Hartley. We talked about Bob Hartley a couple weeks ago. He gets a head coaching job at Avant-Garde Omsk.
Avant-Garde. That team is just out there, man.
It's not far from Latvia either. So
no, say it right over. Bob Hartley getting that Face Off Hockey Show coaching bump. And he's going to work.
Hey, don't say we didn't do nothing for you there, Bob.
All right, Lyle, a couple things. The Phil Kessel saga. He didn't play with Malkin. Now he's pitching a fit. thoughts? When is he going to go to a hot dog cart and get traded?
Well, you know, yeah. There's a report came out last week saying from Mark Madden claiming that the Penguins are going to try to move him and that Kessel is apparently okay with that. The key word here, of course, being try. Because you got a player who's got a $6.8 million cap hit, but of course it's actually $8 million, but $1.2 million, it belongs to Toronto Maple Leafs, from now until 2022-23, I believe he signed through. He has only an eight team move clause, so eight teams he will permit being traded to. So that kind of hampers things a bit, and he kind of getting a reputation for being difficult to coach. Though, when you're coming off a 92-point season, I think there are teams out there that would be willing to overlook that if you could help them score. And
Vegas.
Actually, you know, that's something my old work location, the Hockey News, one of the guys there, Jared Clinton, good guy, he suggested the Golden Knights as a possible destination.
Wouldn't be the worst idea.
Kessel. Wouldn't be. No. I think he'd take Vegas. If it came to that.
Top picks for Kovalchuk. Who do we think we're looking at? Is the New York Rangers signed, sealed, delivered, or are they just meeting with other teams to be courteous?
I think Vegas. All right, Vegas. I think I know. Vegas in on everybody, baby. No, I think the Rangers are still the top one. But, you know, with Lou Lamoriello coming into the Islanders organization, he's got a positive history with Kovalchuk. So you got to figure. I think Lou Lam makes a call, see how he's doing. You know, see if he'd like to come and skate alongside Johnny T, John Tavares, if he can.
Wait, so he's going to Toronto?
That's why I said very quickly, if he can re-sign him.
Yeah. Valerie Nishkinen. Looking to return. Good for him.
Yeah. Well, that's not a surprise, though. That was expected that he was going to, you know, play a couple of years over in the KHL, and then he would look at coming back when there was a better coach in Dallas that he could get along with, because he and Lindy Ruff did not get along. Both sides denied, oh, no, we got along fine, except they really didn't. So, yeah. And I also think he's probably very happy that Ken Hitchcock isn't going to be there either.
Exactly. How much can a guy like John Carlson command? We look at 8.5.
Yep.
Yes. All of it.
Absolutely. Yeah. All hit. Come on, you go get all the money.
Yeah. Exactly.
But I definitely see him getting over $8 million if he hits the open market. You know, maybe it takes a little bit less, just a tiny, teeny, tiny bit to stay with Washington. But honestly, I think he's staying with Washington. Tell you the truth, I think he's staying with the East.
Yeah.
They can.
I mean, I'd love to, but how? Like, where's that money coming from?
They'll make it work.
They're getting the increase in the. They're getting an increase in the freaking salary cap.
Well, $5 million increase right off the bat, the salary cap.
Hey, boom.
Let's take a look very quickly here with our old friends here at Cap Friendly. Your source of mine
RFAs or UFAs, Chaisson and Beagle. Beagle's going to get signed probably a mil.
Mm-hmm. He'll take
you.
Somebody'll pay him more than a mil.
Yeah, but I think he.
Okay, well, right off the bat, first of all, you got $66.4 million invested in 19 players for next season. So you got $14 million. The only guy who's your big, big guy is, of course, Carlson. All your other core players are under contract. So from there, Tom Wilson, Devontae Smith, Pelly. Are your restricted free agents at forward? And you got Kempney.
And also, Mr. Grubauer.
Yes, Mr. Grubauer as well. Though I wouldn't be surprised if Mr. Grubauer, moves on. He could become a cap casualty.
Yep.
That way.
Well, but I think he's also Ilya Samsonov tragedy too.
Yeah.
Exactly. Samsonov's finally here.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing I would also suggest
to you, you want to know it's going to free up a little bit more money as well, is the buyout for Brooks Orpik, because I do think that's coming. I think just the cap reality, the cost of re-signing Carlson, which I honestly believe they want to do.
Mm-hmm.
If you do the buyout, you are getting yourself, $3 million in savings next year.
Wow.
So for next season. So throw that on top of your $14 million, and all of a sudden, it's a whole different thing.
It looks a lot more promising.
It looks a lot more possible, doesn't it? Yeah. So
I'd like to keep Kempney around. I think he's been good.
Yes, he has.
Short of one game in the Lightning series.
He hasn't played terrible.
He had a good game game one against the Golden Knights, too. Yeah. Throwing that shot on that for the deflection that opened the scoring there.
And you also got to factor in Lucas Johansson could be coming up from the systems.
Mm-hmm.
You know they're going to be re-signing
Tom Wilson. That's happening.
DSP, they might re-sign. And the thing is that the core players are pretty much signed till 2021.
Yeah, you're pretty much set. Yeah, because that's when Nicky Backstrom is the first guy, the first shoe to drop, if you will. He and Holtby. By the way, by that point. So you're good for a couple more seasons.
The cap will be at 106. We're fine, guys.
That's true. That is true.
It will certainly be over 85.
Yes. I think it's fine.
Like, by that point, Hopi will get 9.5 and his beard will get a 1.5 million signing bonus.
By the way, not going to lie, Lars Eller looks like a great deal. Holy
shit. Oh, my Lord.
3.5 until 2023.
Get another Bergevin deal. Let's come back to haunt them. God damn Montreal.
By the way, Kucherov also. How much money we see? Because he took a bridge deal.
Yeah.
Still RFA.
Oh, he's going to be getting.
He's going to get paid.
That's next year. That's not this summer. That's next year. The earliest they can sign Kucherov has another year left. Yeah. He's a restricted free agent again with arbitration rights next summer. Yeah. He took that haircut, as you said, to stay. Took less, but he is going to get paid well over 10 mil. Put it over 11. Make the final 11.5 mil.
Wow.
What I'm thinking for Kucherov. Hey, he's one of the top snipers in the league.
Yeah.
Okay.
No.
He has improved every damn year over the last four seasons. Hit 100 points for the first time this season. The guy is the real deal. He's what, 24, 25 now?
24.
24. Oh, my Lord.
Who do the Lightning get rid of then?
Who do they get? Well,
they're going to have five. They're going to have five forwards over $5 million. And then also Victor Hedman. And they have no defense after next year.
The guy I see going that could go and it could happen this summer is Tyler Johnson. Tyler Johnson makes $5 million a season. He saw some third line duty, this season. Skated left wing on the second line, for time during the playoffs. I mean, yeah, you know, he's still a terrific, still a terrific two way, forward. But, you know, $5 million a season, that's a lot. And the reason why the suggestion is that he could be moved this summer, his no trade clause, full no trade kicks in on July 1st. So if Yzerman's going to shed some salary and maybe bring in and perhaps you know, make a move that can partially address, the shortage he's going to have on his blue line next summer. I say Johnson gets traded for a much more affordable, younger, faster defenseman. Because let's face it, Girardi and Coburn will not be back. McDonough, hard to say because he's got some mileage on him. Anton Strahlman, I could see them trying to keep him because he's still pretty good. Mm-hmm. At this stage, but McDonough, maybe another full season. I think if McDonough kind of gets his, you know, a full season with them next season, perhaps that, you know, he gets himself back on track, in which case I definitely see them resigning him. But Girardi and Coburn will not be back.
Yeah, they're gone.
So I, that's why I'm kind of thinking maybe you trade Tyler Johnson before that no trade kicks in. Cause you've got plenty of depth up at forward now. You know, I mean, Braden Point, I mean, he's come in and become that second line center now. You know, Yanni Gourde, I mean, he can play center and wing. He's very versatile, mature player at 26, but still. And, you know, JT Miller, yeah, he's not as strong at center. He's better off on the wings, obviously, but still, he's a terrific addition for them. They're going to keep him. So Johnson would have a lot of value in the trade market. And I think they could get a good, affordable, young, fast defenseman. As I said, to partially address that blue line issue. So, keep an eye on that.
All right. It's time for the taste sensation that's sweeping the nation. A little ha-ha, fuck you action. The last time two teams have faced off against each other for each trying to claim their first Stanley Cup. 2007.
I could have sworn you were going to go. The 1914, 1917.
Yeah, that was the first time.
Exactly. The Ottawa Senators and the Anaheim Ducks. 2007.
Okay.
We're looking at Game 5, the clinching game to give the Anaheim Ducks their victory. We have 18 skaters aside, 36 total, two goalies for that final game. Haha, fuck you. Name these players. We'll start off, as always, with no one in particular. Mark with a C, you get it first.
I'm going to take a slap shot right at you to start off. And then hopefully there's a line brawl afterwards. Daniel Alfredson.
And Daniel Alfredson. Yeah. Two goals in game 5 at 100% shot percentage on the board there. Jenny P.
I thought Mark was going in a different direction. I thought Mark was going to go with James Wisniewski.
Is that your guess?
Yeah, was he on the Ducks at that point or no?
No, he was not.
Darn. I thought he was just going right after the last game.
Lyle.
I believe that the guy that Alfredson was going after was Scott Niedermeyer.
Niedermeyer. Dead. But he's on the board. Mark, back to you.
I would be remiss if I didn't keep the shtick going. I want to say Alexei Zhitnik was on one of these teams.
Fuck you.
Oh!
Nope.
I've said that every week for the last
one. Yeah, you're going to get one. You'll get one.
One of these days. Johnny.
J.S. Jaguar.
There it is on the board. Anaheim Ducks goalie. Only had to make 11 saves in this game. Boy.
Wow.
Not a lot of shots there, kids. Oof.
Nice to see the Sens brought their A game for that
one. On either side, the shot totals were 18-13.
Holy crap.
Boy, howdy.
That's horrible.
Lyle.
Well, you know, Mark had brought up the whole thing about line brawls. And when I think line brawls and the Ottawa Senators 10 years ago, I'm thinking of Ray Emery.
There it is. Ray Emery, the other goaltender, made 12 saves on the night. He had 6 goals. Mark with the C.
I am going to go with, I believe that Teemu Selänne was on the Ducks at this time.
Selänne on the board.
Yeah.
Minus one that game. Played 20 minutes, though.
He didn't care. He won a Stanley Cup. He sees your plus minus of one and laughs.
Had 2 penalty minutes, too, so good for him. Johnny.
Chris Kelly.
On the board. Nice pull.
Yeah.
Good pull. Lyle.
Oh, Jason Spezza.
Oh, rookie of the year every year, Jason Spezza on the board. Mark.
Danny Heatley.
Hey, on the board.
Yes, sir.
This is easy. This is easy, guys.
This is making it easy.
There it is.
Until we hit the inevitable wall, this is easy.
That's hard. 2007, huh?
Yep.
Dion Phaneuf.
Oh, fuck you. Nope.
Sorry.
Lyle.
I'm going to go with Wade Redden.
On the board, Wade Redden. Wade Redden?
Wow. Wade Redden? Yes, Wade Redden.
Wade Redden.
Oh, boy. Good one.
Wascally Webbin on the white. Wascally Wade Redden.
Wade Webbin played for Wacy Rabbit.
Oh, Wacy Rabbit. I miss you. Mark.
I am going to go with who I believe was his battery mate. Did I say that? Oh, probably not. I think he was still there. Zdeno Chara.
Fuck you. Nope. He was not.
He left the year before.
He was in Boston.
And one of the worst decisions because very quickly. Yeah. They had to make a choice between Wade Redden and Zdeno Chara, and they picked Redden.
There it is.
And that was the beginning of the end.
There it is. Johnny.
Crap.
Here's the wall.
For some reason, all I can think of is Jacob Silverberg, but I'm thinking that's way early.
Wow.
No, he got left.
Snoop Dogg?
Well, go to the judges. Snoop Dogg. Sorry, they say fuck you.
But
Snoop
that's
Dogg
when we first
games.
That series that's when we
he
learned
was
though,
there,
that
though.
Was a hockey fan.
He was there and he interviewed. It was a weird interview with Scott Oak. It was a very bizarre time
it was.
For everybody. Lyle.
Chris Neal.
Fall like a perk.
Chris Neal on the board.
Ooh.
Nice. Mark.
Pronger, Chris Pronger.
On the board.
Yes,
had one assist.
Yes,
had to find his name on the list here. I'm like, yep. Nope,
yeah. The Prongmeister was there.
A year after he left Edmonton.
Yes.
Yeah. To Johnny.
God. This.
By the way, this series feels like forever ago, not 11 years ago.
Yeah, it does.
God, there's some dog shit names on these teams.
Enrico Ciccone?
Oh, so close. No, sorry. Great Enrico Ciccone drop, though.
Yeah.
But you said dog shit names. I figured.
Well, fair point.
Indeed.
Lyle?
I'm going to say, because there's still, some dog shit names, but there's still some notable names there, and one of those notable names is Ryan Getzlaff.
Getzlaff on the ball. I had an assist that game.
Gets the last laugh.
There he is.
Mark. Yes.
So if Getzlaff was there, does that mean Corey Perry was there?
Going assist for Mr. Perry. On the board. Johnny P.
Wow. Rico Fada.
Sorry. Close, but no cigar.
Darn. I'm actually like, I probably shouldn't have drank everything I had in that
cup.
He's feeling that face off hockey scotch right about now.
30 minutes, too.
Wow, dude. Wait, I still have this much left, man. Come on. Wow, you got to respect the match. Okay, my turn. Andy McDonald.
On the board, Andy McDonald. One last round, and then we'll get to the picks, and then we'll get out of here.
Make Groundhog Day.
All right. Mark, start the last round.
Steve Ott?
Ooh, no, sorry. Johnny.
This is going to be random.
Uh-huh.
actually, AJ has one, too. He's chiming in for the last round.
All right, perfect, AJ.
Mm-hmm. AJ says Tom Pressing.
Wow. That is a pull, and it's on the board.
Wow. That's a...
He also congratulated me with my Chris Kelly pull.
Yes. No, that was a good one. Yeah.
I'm going to go with Yannick Perreault.
Sorry. No Yannick Perreault. Good God. Drop, though.
The well-traveled Perreault, yeah.
Lyle, your last pick.
Face-off king, Yannick Perreault. Chris Phillips.
Phillips on the board, of course. The Senators roster, Alfredson, Mike Comrie, Joe Corvo, Patrick Eaves, Mike Fisher, Heatley Kelly, Andre Mezerost, Neil Phillips, Pressing, Redden, Oleg Saprykin, Peter Schaefer, Christoph Schubert, Spezza, Anton Vermette, and Anton Volchenkov, Emery and Net. For the Ducks, Francois Beauchemin, Joe DePenta, Getzlaff, Kent Huskins, Chris Kunitz, Todd Marchant, Brad May, Andy McDonald, Travis Mullen, Rob Niedermeyer, other Niedermeyer, Sean O'Donnell, Sammy Paulson, Dustin Penner, Perry Pronger, Delaney, and Sean Thornton with J.S. Chicken.
Joe DePenta sounds like a great utility infielder.
Now batting for the Orioles.
They keep him for his glove, but they love his bunting skills.
Yeah.
That, he can also play three infield positions.
Exactly.
Right. Yeah.
Great gravy. All right.
I loved Schubert's music from the classical time as well.
Right? Exactly.
Yes. But there were a lot of, like I said, there were a lot of memorable names on there, though. We did pretty good with that one.
Yeah, I think so.
Both teams were pretty loaded with some pretty good names.
All right. Stanley Cup picks. How it lays out right now. Lyle has a total of 8 this playoff. The Orb has a total of 7. The coin is bullshit with 5. Fortune Cookie has 7 as well.
Ooh.
Wow. Close. Oh. Close in Lyle versus Inanimate Objects. Of course, Fortune Cookie also pulled out a Caps win for Game 7. So we will put that into the asterisk department. Half point for that.
That's a tiebreaker.
All right. Lyle, who is your Stanley Cup pick, sir?
My Stanley Cup pick?
Remember, reverse psychology has worked in every round so far.
Unfortunately, I would love to do that, but I have already publicly made my picks.
That's fine. You can lie to us.
Okay. For the sake of lying, I am picking the Golden Knights in 18 games because this is going to be just fucking crazy. All the overtime periods is going to be a marathon. In reality.
In the CB, be changed on the fly. And like Bettman come out after game 3 and be like, ha, we made this a best of 11. Let's keep going.
We love your pregame shows. We're coming back, Vegas.
To be fair, Lyle picked Columbus for realsies. Then he picked Pittsburgh for fakesies. And then he picked Tampa for realsies. And now he's picking for fakesies again.
Yeah.
See a trend, folks?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. For fakesies, Golden Knights. And
yeah, we know. Then we're back.
Yeah.
Orb, will the Knights beat the Caps? Let's see here. Can we see it? Can you guys read that?
I can't read.
Very doubtful.
Washington.
Very doubtful.
Wow. Pick for the Orb. Orb's got 7. That'll be a tiebreaker there. Mm. That'll be it. Coin.
Well, so in the amazingness of all of this going down, I actually have a coin in my house that is red on one side. And black on the other side.
Wow. Perfect. What we got?
Coin goes black.
Racist.
What's Vegas?
All right. Taking it to the deep pile.
There's bubble wrap.
By the way, having a Modell's next to your work helps out every once in a while. I got my Eastern Conference champions and Stanley Cup final playing class.
Nice.
So here we go. So you know I'm not switching out the fortunes. Here we go.
Here we go.
Set there. A small lucky package is on its way to you soon.
It said Pornhub quickly.
A small lucky package is on its way to you soon. That's probably mine because Oyo's is sending me something.
Oh, there you go. There
lucky
go.
Number that 7. Was just
a fortune for you.
Yeah, I know. Lucky number 7, 9, 13, 14, 20, and 25.
So there's going to be an Ivan LeBray running?
There's going to be an Ivan LeBray. There's 13, Jacob Verana, 20. Lars Eller, 25, Devontae Smith-Pelly, number 9, Dinis Zubris, number 14,
that's
wow, this is all caps, hashtag all caps. Verana's pretty small, too. All these guys are actually relatively small, except for Devontae Smith-Pelly.
Well, I mean, I think small first... is small's technical, right? I mean, it could be 35 pounds.
Yeah. Right. So you don't want to know who those numbers might be on the Golden Knights, then? We don't care?
Nope.
We can.
Sorry, the other one. No.
I'm fine.
Oh, okay.
Well, who do the Knights have in their history?
Hang on. Nobody. So if they don't get anybody in this one, then they're kind of screwed, aren't they?
Yeah.
Hang on. Okay. Gotta pull it up here. Okay. What are the numbers again? Por favor.
7.
7. Looking for 7. Number 7 is Jason Garrison, who's not with the team, so that don't count.
9.
9, looking for number 9. Number 9, we are standing number still. Nine. Number 9, there is no number 9.
Caps game over, it's already caps.
13?
13, looking for 13. Lucky love be a lady tonight, looking for number 13, and there is no number 13.
How about 14?
14. And we're looking again. My God, they love high numbers on this team. High numbers for high people. No, number 14.
20?
Number 20, you'd think.
I think it's Cody Eakin. No, yeah, I think it's Cody Eakin.
I'm looking. I'm still looking. And there is no number 20.
Interesting.
Do you have the Golden Knights roster from this season?
Yes, I am looking at it right now. Cody Eakin is number 21. The Golden Knights roster from this season. anyway, Cody Eakin is number 21. 25. Yeah, if you guys don't believe me, go to NHL.com and check right now.
I don't trust their
25, Stefan Matteau, who did not play with them, so that doesn't count.
All right, so all caps everything.
All caps everything.
Call it. Yeah. Wall caps.
Wall caps. There we go. So, Lyle, Wink, Vegas, Orb, Washington, Coin, Vegas, Fortune Cookie, Washington. Boy, howdy. Mm-hmm. Game 2, must win for the Caps, I'd say.
Game 3 is Saturday. Game 4 is Monday, which means game 5 is next Wednesday.
Thursday.
Oh, for God. So that means we're at a normal time then next week.
To travel, unless you want to come in an hour early, we'll burn up your hour quick and then we'll go let you go.
We're going to have Sean Leahy out at the beginning too.
Well, then I'll have to do the early show.
All right. Yeah. We will do the early show and then the fucking second.
But I need confirmation that Leahy's going to be there. I am not touching the lower half of my facial hair if he's going to be there.
Scotty doesn't call me the producer of the stars for nothing. So I'll send out an email the day before and confirm his availability.
Bless you, sir.
And make sure you actually put Lyle on it.
Because it's coming at the cost of the lower half of my facial hair to do this. So.
And a divorce.
Well, 25, it was a good 25 years. 27 if you count the...
into a mustache because his Americans asked him to.
Shout outs. Johnny, any shout outs?
I give a shout out to Modell's for having something that I wanted to buy. I will give a diss to the NHL for not selling Adidas fitted hats with the Stanley Cup Final logo on the side of it.
That's all Fanatic.
Everything is Fanatic. Everything is adjustable, and everything looks like shit.
All right. Mark?
That was a good way to end it. I just want to give a shout out to, I don't know, being home from long business travel and being able to watch the game on my own television tonight. That'll be fun.
Nice.
Nice.
Attaboy. Lyle, and
if they lose tonight, we're sending you back to Hawaii.
There you go.
I got a friend who just came back home from China. We're going to send it back there if they don't win tonight.
There you go. I have two very, very quick shout outs. First of all, to the wonderful makers of single malt scotch in Scotland. I love you forever. And on a more serious note, a big shout out to Summerside PI native Noah Dobson, defenseman on the Acadie Bathurst Titans, who are the Memorial Cup champions, and Mr. Dobson is eligible for selection in this year's NHL draft. He could become the first Islander to be selected, not just in the first round, but perhaps even in the top 10. Hey, because while Brad Richards is the most famous Prince Edward Island player of all time in the NHL, he was actually a second round pick. So shout out to Noah. All the best to you, kiddo.
Nice.
Hey, Noah.
Build that arc. I don't really have any shout-outs. Shout-out to the – come on, Caps. Let's get this shit together. What the hell are you doing?
Let's win this thing.
Let's win two.
Why not?
Game two. Exactly. It's really happening. Now the O's have come to – wait, that's not it. shout-out Oyo for getting me some wheels for my camera carts. So that's going to be cool.
I feel like that's a euphemism for something.
Yeah, you know what I mean, baby.
I hope they're 20s.
Be great. Big camera card on big rims. What the hell is this?
Yeah.
This to the car I'm trying to sell getting a flat tire. I'm like, come on, really? Like,
Jesus. I feel like that's also a euphemism for something.
Yeah, I know, right?
That's what she said.
Also, thanks to Brian, Damon, Mark, Trista, Matthew, Ethan, Chris, Mitch, Angela, and Sean for contributing to our Patreon, patreon.com/faceoffhockeyshow. That's it. That's all for Johnny P, Mark with a C, and Lyle. I'm Scotty Wise. Take care of yourself and someone else. It's been Face Off Hockey Show on faceoffhockeyshow.com, which is actually it's not upkept. BlogTalkRadio/faceoffhockeyshow is the place to get all our stuff. You can go to Facebook, FOHS Radio, or Twitter, Face Off HGKY Show for more. Until next week, ladies and gentlemen, we'll be back at a 2-hour time frame. Sean Leahy, Lowerson in the first hour, Mark with C in the mid part, and then we've got some wackiness there at the end. So hooray, hooray, hooray. Until next week, peace.
See ya.
I need a change when I'm feeling. I'm tired, I'm confused, and I got no time for dealing. Wish the waste are reeling, but it's ankle high, I'm peeling. So I gotta find another way to change my mood today.